Hey, what's up, my beautiful people? Welcome inside the Black Actor Studio. I'm your host, Danny Royce. And joining us today is someone who is said to be casting her own role here in Hollywood. She's a casting director, entrepreneur, producer, and all-around boss, Leah Daniels. Don't move a muscle. Our guest today is responsible for the brilliant casting on films like The Butler, Precious, and many others. Her casting has brought you some of your favorite characters on Fox's Star and Empire, which also led her to an award from the CSA. Please welcome Leah Daniels Butler.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Of course. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to the Black Actors Studio. We're very proud to have you.
Black actors.
How y'all doing? Black actors. We are doing good. It's a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for being here. So, there's some things going on right now, obviously, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm a huge fan of Empire. Mm-hmm. Huge fan. I've been since day one.
Yeah, I'm a fan, too. Yeah. I am a fan of the show. Like, I watch it as a fan, so yeah. I understand.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I mean, casting it and then mm-hmm. watching it as a fan has got to be awesome.
Yeah, it's something. It's definitely something.
So, so Jussie Smollett has been in the news a lot lately mm-hmm. Regarding that whole thing that happened in Chicago. With the recent findings today mm-hmm. about the bail and the check, $3,500 to pay people off or whatever, I just want to know, what are your overall thoughts about the situation, knowing Jussie?
Here's the thing. I know Jussie, and I know him as not just, you know, an actor, as a friend, as an activist, as all those things. This is so out of character mm-hmm. for him. So it's hard for me to believe that it's true. And people will say I'm naive. I know the evidence don't look good. Yeah. Like, I know that. Like, I'm not, right. you know, stupid or anything. But I just feel that even if it is true, or if all this stuff comes out, like, he's still a friend, and I'm going to support him regardless. I'm going to keep praying for him and his family. Obviously, we would all want to know why, if this is true. Again, I'm going to keep saying if, because mm-hmm. it's, you know, until he is either admits it or he's proven guilty, right. then he is innocent in my eyes. And so, I'm praying that it is not true.
Yeah.
And I'm praying that, you know, all his side of the story will be told outside of the snippets or the interview or the little things like that, you know, because it's hard. It's hard for, I'm sure he must be troubled, really troubled right now. So I'm just being supportive.
That's, well, mm-hmm. like a friend should be, right?
Yeah. Because here's the thing. If, regardless of who it is, if you have a friend that's in trouble mm-hmm. or has done something right or wrong, as a good friend, if they're wrong, you're not going to stop being their friend. You're going to cuff them up and be like, yo, what are you doing? Why? Like, what's up with you? You know what I mean? You're not going to just be like, throw the whole friend away.
Right.
You're going to try to at least try to find out what the issue is and try to help them. You're not going to just, or at least I wouldn't as a friend. And I wouldn't do, if it was him or anybody else, I'm the kind of friend you want on your team, because I'm not going to just, I know what it's like when you're going through something and not to have people around you or people you thought were your friends disappear
exactly
in the time that you need them the most. So that's just my take on it. And
well, I thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And we'll get back to Empire.
Okay.
But I like to start at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you born?
Philadelphia.
Philly.
On the playground is where I know
most of my day. Yeah. I love it.
But yes, that's, I'm from West Philadelphia. Went to West Catholic high school for girls, and then I graduated from Overbrook High School.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so your father was a police officer yes. in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And how was that growing up with the police officer in the household?
You know, my father died when I was very young.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 10, I think.
Yeah.
And my brother, the time, I think he hadn't turned quite, I think he was about to turn 16 that year. So it was, you know, at 10 years old, yes, I remember my father, obviously. But I, it's so weird because I remember, incidents or things that happened or things, places that we may have gone or like a family event or Christmas or something like that. But I don't remember as much as my brothers and sisters. And that's, you know, when they say something, hey, do you remember when this, when daddy did? And I'm like, I don't really remember that. But there's one story that I remember specifically, and I was very young. And that was taking my mother to one of my father's girlfriend's house.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's another stuff. That's another show, though. Right. Yes, my mother never lets me forget that.
Wow.
But I love hearing the story, too.
Yeah.
It's like, what did I do, Mom? What did I do? What, I was doing what?
Wait, did you lead her there, like, unknowingly?
Yes,
or
not. I was, I, she says that I was, I mean, I kind of remember it. Like, I remember, I, the crazy thing is that I still remember what, like, it was on 55th, with 52nd, 54th Street in West Philly. And she was a friend, or my father, her name was Miss Sue. And
Miss Sue.
And she remember she bought these white go-go boots for my sisters and I. And me, Girly, and Cheryl, we both had, we all had these go-go boots. Oh, she bought me moccasins because I couldn't get the boots. And I was sad about the boots. But my mother was like, where did you get those moccasins are so cute. And I used to call her White Aunt Manny. Because she was light-skinned. I didn't know. That she was, I would call her White Aunt Manny. And so, but I had an Aunt Manny, or her name was actually Matt, but we called her Aunt Manny for whatever reason. And I was like, I got him from White Aunt Manny, White Aunt Manny. And she was like, who's White Aunt Manny? Right? Because she kept saying, I was saying Aunt Manny. She just assumed that it was my aunt.
Oh, okay.
But that was his trickery.
Wow.
So I wouldn't tell. Or when if I did talk about her, that I was saying somebody that she knew, so it wasn't.
Wow.
Yes. And so I was like, yeah. And it's like, we were over at Y.A. Manny's house, and she was like, you know where she lived? I was like, yes. And my mother tells a story that I was on the dashboard, like, down that street. Down.
Wow. I just gave it away.
Five. Got to be careful what you take around your kids.
Exactly.
That's all I'm
saying. I know. That's right. So your dad died in the line of duty.
He did.
Did you understand at that point that he was gone, or?
You know, I remember the funeral. I remember it being a very big deal. I remember being at the house with my mom when she found out. I remember having this lock on the door that she couldn't. It was this lock that said yes, no. And I think yes meant it was locked and no unlocked. I'm not really sure, but all I know is that she would keep the door locked because it was five of us. And so our house was like the party house.
Right.
And kids were always at our house. And so she would lock the door so we would have, wouldn't be running in and out her front door because she got tired of the neighbors complaining about all the kids running in and out. So she was having trouble opening the door when she heard about it. And I remember her finally getting out and running out on the street and calling for my brother's name. And she was just like, your father, they shot your father, they shot your father. And yeah, so I remember it happening, not really understanding the full impact until I got much older.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's when you really realize, oh, yeah, this is who he was. And this is what the legacy that he left behind. And all the people that, you know, knew him and respected him and how young he was, because he was 34.
Wow.
He died at 34. And I remember turning 34, and it was because he died 2 days before my mother's birthday. And he died December the 16th. My mother's birthday is December the 18th. And I remember it because every year on his birthday, you know, I always post or I say something, or I say a prayer, whatever the case. And I remember turning 34 and thinking, oh, my God, he was so young.
That's crazy.
He was so
young. Yeah, that's so young.
Yeah.
So. Wow.
But I have a, I say that, to, you know, not that we were in a, where we were going with it, but I have a very, our family, we have a huge amount of respect for police officers, you know, so I'm not one of those people that, I'm not anti-police, but I am anti-police brutality.
Right.
I am anti anything that they do that's not, they need to be held accountable just like anybody else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They abuse their power and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
So your mother, what's your mother's maiden name?
Watson.
Watson. And so how was it for her being a single mother of five. That's tough. I mean, that's being a black mother, black woman,
it
single mother of five.
It was tough, you know? Yeah, man. She had to raise two boys and three girls on her own. And it was... she tried to have boyfriends, but we were like terror. We ran them off.
I'm sure.
So many of them off.
Wow.
I don't think she had a real boyfriend until I was the only one in the house. I was left because I'm the youngest.
Right.
And so I was the only one left in the house. And so she was finally, I think, ready, could have a real relationship at that time.
Wow. I'm the youngest of four. So I get a baby syndrome.
You know how it is, yes.
Yeah, that's crazy. So did you have any nicknames growing up?
Yes. Well, my brother still calls me Koo. Some of my cousins do, too. It's short for Kuna.
Oh.
And I don't know where it came from. My mother said they used to call... I was like a little Kuna bear. I don't even know what a Kuna bear is.
What is a Kuna bear?
I have
bear?
No idea. I don't even think it's a real thing. Maybe she meant what's the bear that...
Koala?
Maybe that's what she meant.
Maybe. Okay.
But she said I looked like a little Kuna bear. So they would call me... My cousins, some of my cousins still say Kuna. And I'm like, please stop.
Wow.
And, but my brother... He still calls me Koo.
Still calls you Koo?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so your brother, being mm-hmm. Lee Daniels, and was there any type of, like, growing up having a gay sibling or anything, mm-hmm. like, hinting towards that? Did you guys have some type of conversation or anything?
You know, it's growing up, it was so many of us. Like, there's always somebody, you know, you have that many siblings. It's a lot going on. I don't think we didn't know what gay was back mm-hmm. then. You know, he jumped rope. He made the best paper dolls, especially for me. He would draw the legs and make the shoes, and I would have the best paper dolls.
Nice.
And he would jump rope. You know, obviously, you know, he had...
Feminine tendencies.
Yes, but not necessarily, like, it wasn't, like, flamboyant.
Right,
like, you know, it wasn't any of that. It was just... But people would call him Sissy at the time. Because that's what the word was, Sissy, and the other word, you know, mm-hmm. the F word that I'm not going to say.
Yeah.
But that's what people would say. But not really knowing what it was, just you knew that it was not how the other boys were,
mm-hmm.
you know, acting or what they were doing. And I don't think I found out he was actually gay or until... I think he moved to college. He went to St. Louis, Missouri for college. And then when I went to visit, I came to visit him out here in California.
Oh, okay.
And that's when I think I found out. I don't think I knew. And it wasn't like, I wasn't shocked or anything.
Right.
It was just like, how come nobody told me?
Right.
Like,
it's like a betrayal.
Like, yeah, it's like, really? Nobody told me? Like, how does this happen and no one tell, you know?
Right, right.
And it's like, well, how do you not know? It's just like... Because it wasn't like he was, you know, at the time, you know, drag queens, and that was like a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was drag. And so it wasn't like he was dressing up.
Right.
You know, it was none of that. Or at least I didn't see it. And so, yeah. So it was just, you just didn't know, you know, or you just didn't think about it. It wasn't a thing.
It wasn't really a thing. You had to process too much. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you spoke a little bit about schooling.
Mm-hmm.
What were, like, some of your biggest, like, subjects that you loved in school?
What did I love in school? I excel really well in science. Mm. And I'm trying to think of what else. English wasn't necessarily my strong suit.
Really?
And neither was geography.
Oh.
But I liked math.
Okay.
I think math and science were probably the areas that I was... the strongest in.
Math and science. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have a lot to do with each other.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's a lot of kids in the house, right? So what were some of the black shows that you grew up watching that you really loved?
We watched Good Times.
Nice.
I'm trying to think of what else when we were younger. When I was much younger, we watched, like, different kind of shows came on. You know, mm-hmm. we watched The Little Rascals when we came home from school. I remember that being a thing. I remember The Flintstones.
Yeah.
I remember... I might have watched Mr. Rogers until I was into my teens.
Oh, my God. Have we all?
Literally. Right? I might have watched Mr. Rogers. Literally until I was in my teens. But I remember, what else? It was Good Times. It was The Bunkers. It was The Jeffersons,
yes. That's a great one.
Those were like, you know.
Family Matters. Did you like Family Matters?
You know, then? I was grown probably when Family Matters came out, so it wasn't. Yeah, that's probably your generation, not so much mine. But yeah, but those were the, those are the shows I think that stand out. I think Good Times really stands out because that. I remember it used to come on Tuesday nights.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, my father died on a Tuesday night. And then we were watching Good Times when my mother found out.
Oh, wow.
So I think that's probably one of the shows that really sticks in my head.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Did you watch any of those shows and aspire to work one day on the show?
No idea, right?
It just came later.
I didn't even know. You know, it's so funny, life, how things happen. I didn't know that this was a career. My brother, when we were younger, he would always put on these plays.
Mm-hmm.
He would get books from the library, and at the time, you could get a book from the library, and the plays that were in it had like lines.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this person says this and this person says that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember specifically Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Get one.
He would he tore the pages out and he had us saying the lines.
Mm.
And that was probably one of the earliest memories I have of like any sort of arts. But he was telling us what to do and what to say, and we would do it down in the basement and everybody would say their lines. And that's so funny.
That's
when
crazy.
You think about stuff like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So, 2001, mm-hmm. you started your own casting company, correct?
Yes, mm-hmm. In 2001, yes.
Before that, mm-hmm. what propelled you to do that? What drew you to the arts at that moment?
Well, when I moved to California in early 1990,
mm-hmm.
early 1990, and I was young, and when I first moved here, I had my daughter with me. She was at the time 4. And my brother was like, oh, you need to get a job, pretty much. And so he was managing at the time, and he introduced me to Kim Harton and Jackie Brown.
Okay.
And, you know, two of my mentors and that I was just so blessed to work with, because they just took me under their wings and taught me everything about casting. I was just a young girl not really knowing what I wanted to do.
Right.
You know, and they saw something in me probably I didn't even see in myself.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, so we're going to take you and we're going to... It was so different than it is now, being introduced into the business. It's so different because I had administrative skills, but I didn't have any, you know, theater background. I didn't have any, I didn't go to theater school. I didn't train, I didn't do any of that. I didn't study mm-hmm. in acting. I didn't study anything. So in that particular field. So for me, it was, all I knew how to do was type and answer phones, you know?
Right.
And with that skill though, because at the time we didn't have, it was before computers.
Yeah.
It was before, I think fax machine was like the big thing. So a lot of the stuff that I did.
Dial up.
And so I think what I was doing, you know, my skill was called for. And, you know, answering phone, doing what I did was just really sort of administrative work. So mm-hmm. when you're doing that, they allowed me to start stepping into the room and just being quiet and watching actors and learning actors and how they talk to the directors and the producers and learning how to read a schedule and a board and mm-hmm. speaking to the agents and building your own relationship, because as an assistant, you know, you're talking to the assistants. You're talking to, so you're building your relationships
right.
as you are growing in the business. And it was just, that's how I was introduced to it. It wasn't like, oh, this is going to be your career. It was, I could have went to any
route. Yeah.
Yeah. Any route. But because he had a friend at the time that needed an assistant because her assistant was leaving.
Gotcha.
I was fortunate enough to, you know, to work for them.
And your amazing mm-hmm. work ethic has brought you to where you are today.
Yeah.
So how was that? Like, because at that time there weren't a lot of, you know, black lead roles. There mm-hmm. weren't a lot of black movies just being geared towards as far as how it is today in mm-hmm. the Wakanda culture, you know, like,
yeah.
So stepping into those rooms and gaining that work ethic mm-hmm. for you, how important was that for you being a black woman in Hollywood?
I mean, it was really important because as a black woman in Hollywood, for someone that has my credits or started when I started, you would think that, you know, if I were any other ethnicity but black, who knows where my career would have gone.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? But I did have, you know, I have kids. I had, you know, I had a lot to deal with. So yeah. I wasn't like networking and doing a lot of the stuff that, you know, you can do now.
Yeah, for sure.
But it was still something that I respected and wanted to do. It was just when you have a life outside of your job, mm-hmm. it's hard for you to really cultivate that. But as my credits build, you know, you would think, oh, this is the next movie that's going to get, you know, this attention, or this is it. But it doesn't necessarily happen that way.
Right.
You know, you have young casting directors that haven't been associates that haven't been casting for nearly as long as I have, and they're not black, but they're casting, you know, $100 million movies.
Yeah,
and it's. We can touch on that later, but yeah, that's a thing too.
Yeah, it's a thing in itself for
yeah.
sure.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1995, you married Henry
yes.
Butler Jr., right?
Yes.
Music producer.
Yes.
Stepping into the music industry.
Yeah, well, he was already in the music industry.
But how was that for you, like being a part of that now?
You know, we were both young executives. Like, we got married at the age of 20. I was 29. He was 29. I think he just turned 29 because mm-hmm. I'm actually a couple months older than him. he hadn't even turned 29, actually.
Oh, really?
No, he hadn't even turned 29. And he was in the music industry, and he started with like Uncle Jam's Army out here in California. Mm. He was a part of that movement. He was a part of he went on tour with like LL Cool J
wow.
and R. Kelly at the time. You know what I mean? Like with Al Haymon production. So, you know, Al Haymon was handling all the tours.
Okay.
And then outside of that, he was managing artists, and he had his own management company where he managed recording artists and producers. And then from there, he was an executive at Loud Records.
Mm.
And he was a senior VP of A&R, I think, or VP of A&R. I'm not really sure of the title, but he was responsible for a lot of acts that were at Loud Records. So for me, it was like he was there. I was at Warner Brothers because it was a time that, you know, I started as an assistant at
yeah.
Warner Brothers and then moved up to an associate and then was a full-on casting director. So Warner Brothers was very good to me. But we were just two young executives and we had kids and just trying to figure it out, you know,
mm-hmm.
Both in the business. So you learn a lot and you merge your families together, and we're still married 25 years now.
25 years, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
You don't see that a lot nowadays.
Especially, right? Especially in Hollywood.
Yeah,
like, that's
exactly.
Like dog years.
That's so true. Let's talk a little bit about your health mm-hmm. situation that mm-hmm. With the thyroids
yeah.
and the removal of that, because we saw a big fluctuation between for your weight loss, right?
Yeah.
So can you touch on that?
You know, I had never, like, when you're younger, obviously, I never struggled with weight. I never had an issue with my weight. It was always, I was in pretty good, you know, I considered myself a pretty healthy and in pretty decent weight. I never had issues with like food or, you know, like I was that wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
And I, it wasn't until 2010, that's when I was actually diagnosed with hyperthyroidism. And the doctors tried to balance it with medication.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know if you know anybody that suffers from hyper or hypothyroidism. It's an autoimmune, you know, deficiency. But I feel like everything is autoimmune.
Yeah,
like
right?
Everything has something to do with everything. Your autoimmune system. And mm-hmm. so, but for me, it was really, really tough because I was shaking really bad. I had anxiety. I couldn't be in like confined spaces. Equilibrium was off. I was losing my hair.
Mm.
It was just a bad thing. And so the doctor put me on medication, and then that made me gain a lot of weight. And then we were trying to balance it out and figure it out for 4 years until
wow.
finally it was just like, okay, this medication is not working. You can either stay like this. And when I'm telling you, you're up and down. Like some days you feel okay and other days you just feel like crap.
Mm.
So I had to make the decision on whether or not I was going to remove it or if I was going to have, it's called iodine treatment. And iodine treatment is when you have to drink this stuff, this iodine, obviously.
Yeah.
And you drink that and you can't be around anybody for 2 weeks. And
wow.
it kills your thyroid, but it's still in you.
Wow.
And I was just like, well, anything that I got to drink that I
can't
be, around somebody
people, right?
for 2 weeks, I don't want it in my body.
And
so.
I can't imagine it tastes good.
Yeah. So I was like, no, I'll just go ahead and go under the knife. And so, but they did. They were able to cut it out and it was the best decision that I've ever made. Now I have to be on Synthroid for the rest of my life.
Wow.
But you know, it's, I'd rather that because I feel normal.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. And so you mentioned you were working at Warner Brothers
mm-hmm.
and all that. So how was it working with like people like Ice Cube on Friday and like, and the Wayans Brothers
oh my
or
God.
Robin Williams? Like, how
so,
was it working?
Oh, okay. So Warner Brothers was a really good, a great experience for me. Like I said, they were really, Barbara Miller, may she rest in peace, was very, very good to me. She promoted me twice within the company. And I was able to work on shows like The Wayans Brothers and
mm-hmm.
For Your Love. And I worked on, as an assistant, I worked on Friends.
Mm.
And I worked on, what was the other show? Suddenly Susan with Brooke Shields.
Nice.
It was another show. I can't think of it. It was a black show with Reagan Gomez Preston, Suzanne Douglas, and his name is escaping right now. I see his face, but he did. Was it I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker?
Oh,
Robert Townsend.
Robert Townsend,
yes.
Yes.
Robert, he was the lead
yeah.
in Faison Love.
Uh-huh.
And it was his wife was Suzanne Douglas, and they had two kids. I cannot think of the title of the show for some reason. I don't know why, but I was an assistant on that. Was my job entering into Warner Brothers. And then 2 years in, I was still working, like doing my own thing though. Like I was casting short films when we were on hiatus and
mm-hmm.
just always constantly working. And so I was about to leave because I was just felt stagnated. I was like, I'm not going to grow here.
Right.
And clearly it's like you're a casting director or you're an assistant. It was no in between. And I had given my 2 weeks notice. They had even given me a going away party.
Really?
Yeah. And the day that I was supposed to leave, Barbara Miller came down and was just like, we're starting a new associates program. Would you stay?
Wow.
And I said, yeah.
Wow.
And I stayed on for, I think after that, it was like another 4 more years because 2 years after that, I remember going to church and my pastor telling me, I had just got promoted. He was like, you're going to get promoted again. And I'm like, okay, I just got promoted. Like, thank you for the blessing. Listen, I believe you and everything, but I had just got promoted. So
right.
there's no way I'm getting promoted again. He was right.
Wow.
I got promoted again.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Was there ever anyone you were really excited to work with? Like, we have those geeky moments
mm-hmm.
that we just, you know, did you ever have that moment?
Anybody that was really... Okay, let me think. The movies, television. I don't... You know, I think being around it for so long,
mm-hmm.
I never, ever have been in a situation where I was like, oh, my God. One time when I first met Denzel Washington, he's the only person that
go.
I actually, you know... I actually met, but that was before I was even married.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, oh my God, there's Denzel Washington at a barbecue flipping. Like, it was crazy. But I don't think that there's anybody that I've
I mean, Denzel was a good one.
But that was a starstruck moment. We weren't working together. We didn't work together. That was like a starstruck moment. But I would have to say probably The Butler, because that cast was so amazing. Mm-hmm. And there were so many like high-profile people in that movie. And right. to see them all come together without ego, everybody just working together to make this film. And we had a lot of hiccups in that film. There was a hurricane in the middle of the shooting, shut down production for, I think, 2 or 3 weeks.
Wow.
And had to go back into New Orleans and finish shooting. And everybody had already had schedules. And they all came back and everybody. It was such a good experience,
wow.
you know, working and learning, too, about history and who everyone was. And but those were moments. I think that was probably the most geeky yeah. moment that I've had in terms of, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm on set.
Forrest Whitaker. Forrest Whitaker
and,
is crazy.
Yeah, and Liev Schreiber. It was like a lot of people, a lot.
And that show, by the way, with Robert Townsend, Parenthood.
The Parenthood. The Parenthood, yes, yeah. yes, yes.
Thank you for that, Jim. So we're here with Star and Empire, mm-hmm. okay? Oh, man. So I've been a fan of the show, both shows, for a long time. And did you ever know, like, when you were casting these certain projects that they would blow up the way they mm-hmm. did?
No. No, I don't. I think, especially with Empire, I don't think anybody knew.
Yeah, it was like a shot.
Yeah, it was a phenomenon.
It was amazing.
It was like when it, I think, I got to be honest with you. I'm going to just keep it.
Keep behind it.
when I read the treatment, I thought, people are going to watch this. It didn't feel like, and then when I read the script, I thought, oh, okay, you know. I was excited because it was my brother's introduction to television.
Right.
And it was sort of my reintroduction because I had been independent for a very long time mm-hmm. With doing movies and films. And that's another thing, being in Black and Hollywood and how you can be in one stage and then, you know, okay, well, you were doing these little Black independent movies. You're not approved
right.
to do network television.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's a thing. That's a very real thing, too. And so... if it wasn't for him pulling me in, no matter that I did The Butler and Precious and The Paperboy and, you know, worked on, outside of that, other things, do you know what I mean? Other
yeah.
features that I had worked on, not with my brother, it didn't matter. It didn't matter because it wasn't until he said, no, my sister cast my projects that I'm going to, you know, he pulled me in.
Yeah.
And it was like, they didn't really have a choice.
Yeah.
It's like this, no.
It's like a package deal, right?
Yeah, it's like, oh, we got to see who's going to be casting. I says, no. My sister will be casting my... But, and I'm grateful to him.
That's
because
awesome.
The thing is that we know each other so
exactly.
well that I can almost... He doesn't have to really tell me what he's looking for because
yeah.
I already know his sensibility.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy for me to, you know, when he's looking for this type of actor, what he's looking for, because I know what I know. So there's that. And then he...
Well, speaking of that, there was mm-hmm. an incident because I had attended SCAD this year
mm-hmm.
In Savannah, and Amaya Scott was there.
Mm-hmm.
And she had said that basically you found her on Instagram and said, this is this is her.
Well, you know what? I she's so sweet, but I'm not going to take full credit for that. my other sister, I have a sister, girl Lydia,
yeah.
Who also works on Star. She works in a different department, and she follows everybody on Instagram. And so she was introducing us all to these, you know, just these different people. Because
right.
it was kind of when Instagram sort of first started blowing up.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it was Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And then Instagram came. And then when Instagram came, it was just like, oh, this is kind of cool. You get to show pictures. And it was before it really, really escalated and it became this huge deal. My sister was just like, look at her, and so we were like fascinated with
wow.
how beautiful she was.
Yeah
and so when the Star came about, but Star's the way Star came about, he had already in his so long ago, he wanted to do a show about a girls group mm-hmm. for a very, very long time. So this was already, you know, sort of in the works even before Empire, to be honest with you. Mm. He had already, this was something that he really wanted to do. He wanted to do, I don't know if it was a movie about a girl group or whatever, but it was almost like a, not like a sparkle, but you know what I mean? It was that sort of vibe.
Yeah.
You know, a musical.
Right.
About that. And so with that, he wanted to add other characters, because if whenever he is creating or doing a show or a movie, he has to put some element of, I guess, something that things that he identifies with, things that he relates to,
right.
characters and people, because a lot of the characters and a lot of the most of the characters have names of either our cousins
or
aunts or somebody in our family, you know, because there's a Cookie. I have a cousin Cookie.
Wow.
Yeah, man, I have. My son is actually Hakeem.
Wow.
Let's see, who else is on the show? Other names for
is there Ms. Lucius?
Booth. No. There's no Lucius. But there is a obviously there's Leah, Lucius's mm-hmm. mom.
Yeah.
There is Bunky was somebody
really?
That lived down the street. Carol, my aunt Carol.
Wow, so like a lot of them have yeah. just names in your family. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah, and even on Star too. Like yeah. Miss Bruce was Ms. actually Bruce. There was a our neighbor. She's a Lady B is a radio host in Philadelphia, and she had a brother who would dress up as drag,
mm-hmm.
and we called him Miss Bruce.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, you know, it's so weird because now looking back, he probably really wasn't. He wasn't dressing in drag. He was transgender.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't. Again, you don't know what it's called back then.
Right.
It was just like he was dressing in drag because that's what we thought. But he had blonde hair. I remember he had injection. Like, he had boobs. Like, he was really a woman.
Mm.
And I didn't understand that at the time.
Yeah.
But his name was Miss Bruce.
Miss Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorite characters on Star.
Yes.
It's hilarious.
Yes. So there's, he always brings some familiarity. I can't say that word right.
Yeah.
But into the stories that he creates and things like that.
Awesome. And mm-hmm. so you won the Hamilton Award.
I did.
For
yes.
The Butler.
Yeah.
Right. And then Outstanding Achievement in Casting for mm-hmm. a TV drama for Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And how is it being the only black member on the board of CSA? Are you still the board?
No.
Or are you currently?
No. I'm no longer on the board of CSA, but I am still a part of the diversity committee.
Gotcha.
For the Casting Society of America.
Awesome.
It, you know, I'm glad for that experience. I wish that we had, you know, there were more people of color,
mm-hmm.
black or whatever, on the board, because it is not really a when you have more diverse people in a room, you're always going to make better decisions, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You're always going, because you're going to get everybody's point of view.
Right.
And so for me, I was glad to be a part of it. You term out in 2 years. I could have ran again, but it was a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a huge commitment. And yeah, so I definitely tried to bring the voice. I remember there was a black casting directors meetup, and I was invited. The people that organized it tried to get as many black casting directors in Hollywood, female casting directors
mm-hmm.
in Hollywood, at this event, and they, you know, we promised to do it every year, and so they did it last year, and I wasn't able to make it, but the first year I was, and I remember thinking, we should all be in a member of CSA.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and although, because it's not a union or anything, but what it is that, you know, just when I think about the shows that are out right now, and movies, casting directors, black casting directors are not casting huge budget movies,
right.
the $100 million films.
Right.
We're not casting those. And why is that? Do you know what I mean? Why mm-hmm. are we not? Like, you have a movie like Black Panther, and I'm not saying anything about the casting director that did it. I think Sarah Finn. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's who cast it. I think that's who it is. But anyway, she did an amazing job. And so this is no shade towards her. I just want other Black casting directors to be a part of the conversation yeah. when it comes to movies like that.
Yeah.
Because why we can cast those movies, but we're not given the opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I realize that the reason we're not given the opportunity is because the people that are making those decisions are not Black.
Right.
And not that you hire Black, but you're not bringing those people in. Just like if my brother hadn't brought me in, who knows who would have cast Empire?
Exactly. It would have been a whole different show.
Right. Maybe. You just never know. So yeah. I feel like, you know, I went out for pilot season because casting directors are the same as actors. You go out and you meet people and mm-hmm. you try to book a pilot. And I had 6 meetings. And in one of the meetings were there Black people, 2 Black men. One.
Wow.
And they were all either shows that had Black leads or a Black cast.
Mm-hmm. Casting, yeah.
And those are the people that are, and they were all very nice. Listen, I'm just glad to be in the room.
Right.
I was glad to be a part of that conversation but at the end of the day, only one Black casting director got hired for all of those.
That's meetings. Crazy.
And so that is, it's disheartening. And it's like, okay, so the reason I'm thinking is because we're not the ones really making the decisions.
Right.
To hire these people. And if you are, a lot of times I don't think some producers or directors even know their power, that they can say, hey, I want a Black casting director for this Black project,
mm-hmm.
especially if it's on the magnitude of like a Black Panther.
Right.
You know, you definitely want to, because when you think about it, like, think about the shows. Think about, like, Black-ish is not cast by a Black casting director.
There's a lot.
Grown-ish is not.
Grown-ish, yeah.
Power is not.
But I see, like,
Atlanta is not.
Oh, yeah, right?
You know, I can go on and
you
on.
You go on. Like, you know? And it's surprising. It really is. Once you think about it,
it's like, wow. Just like, why?
Yeah.
You know, because it's not like we're not out here.
Right. And we out here.
we are out here. And so it's just like, why? Why is that happening? And I don't want to turn this into, a Black or a color thing. But I just feel like there are so many talented people want to say, oh, there's diversity, diversity, diversity. And that's a great thing. And I'm all for that. But it doesn't just need to be with actors. It needs to be behind the camera.
Yeah.
It needs to be for the people that are making the decisions to hire these people. Because the reason why you don't have Black casting directors casting these Black shows is because there's no Black executives
right.
in the decision-making process. It trickles down.
That's true.
So it's just, it's a whole, that's another show.
That's a whole thing, fiasco, right?
Yeah.
So, and then very shortly, so you have the New Way to Life reentry
a new
program.
Way of life,
new
yes.
Way of Life mm-hmm. Reentry program, or the project, excuse mm-hmm. me. So just touch briefly on what that is.
New Way of Life is a reentry project, is a foundation that was founded by Susan Burton, who opened her first house, or is dedicated to women who are formerly incarcerated, their reentry into society.
Mm.
That's the short of it. But what they're doing is so amazing, because
awesome.
These women have been in jail for some 10, 20, 25 years. And
wow.
she's an advocate for seeing people as human beings, because that's such a big thing. Like, you get out of jail and you have all these, there's so many things that as when you cop to a felony, you don't know what you lose, but then you don't also know what your rights are
right,
either.
Exactly.
So they help with that. They help with not just, building, making you a more model citizen for the community, but also, getting reacclimated with your kids, teaching you job skills. Some of these women, she's had I think a 90% success rate. And some of these women have come out of prison and gone on to get degrees.
Wow.
And, get their families back and are like, just needed a chance.
Yeah,
just
for sure.
Really needed a chance. Needed somebody to see them for who, that you're not just a number, that you're a person. When I first went to the house, I met one of this woman who had just got out for 25 years.
Wow.
25 years in. She, because when she went in, they didn't have the system was different. She couldn't get a Social Security card because everything was different, and so there was no record of her, and she didn't feel like she was like, who am I? And I felt so bad for this woman, because you've done 25 years in jail. Now you're coming out and you can't even get a driver's license. You can't get your driver's license because you don't have your Social Security. You can't get your Social Security because you don't have your birth certificate. You can't get your birth certificate because you know what I mean?
Exactly. It's just like, it's not made for success in this. It's like you're labeled as that the whole life.
And so what she's doing is so amazing.
That's
and
awesome.
What her journey was and how she started. And it's just a wonderful thing. And I'm so proud of that organization and what they're doing. She's been in, she's done this for over 20 years now.
Wow.
And she's helped so many women.
Well, that's incredible.
So yeah. Yeah.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. We're just, we're going to wrap up now.
Okay.
But I want to just quickly go through, ask you some fun questions.
Right? Okay.
So what's one of your favorite words?
One of my favorite words. The first thing that comes to my mind, it's not really a word, it's a phrase.
Okay.
It's do that.
That's hilarious. And what's your least favorite word?
My least favorite word is anything like derogatory. Like, I don't like,
Gotcha.
Okay.
And so, two more questions. What profession would you not do if you weren't doing casting right now?
If I wasn't doing, could it be in the entertainment industry
anything.
Or just anything? I would probably be directing, I think.
Directing?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. And if heaven exists, mm-hmm. what would you like to hear God say to you?
I would like for God to tell us or say to me that you did good down there. You were a good person. You were a good person, and that I exist. Actually, I exist. I'm here.
That would be great to hear, right?
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I hope you had fun.
I had a blast.
It was fun.
And I thank you for everything you're doing here in Hollywood.
Thank you.
The Black community loves it and can't wait to see more.
Yes. Yes.
So, can you tell everyone where to find you?
At Mrs. Butler to you, and that's on Instagram, and at L. Daniels Butler on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sounds good. And folks, you can find me everywhere at I Am Danny Royce. Also, tune in next week at 2 p.m. Every Thursday here in Inside the Black Actors Studio. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.